Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
This is our penultimate podcast.
Penultimate.
Of the pandemic.
Of the pandemic.
No, I can't say that. That's a lie. Of the pandemic of 2020.
2020, that's right.
Because we'll have more next year, but this is our second to last podcast
of this year. Not more pandemics. She doesn't mean that.
I wonder if we'll have more pandemics, though.
They think we will.
They think we're going to get more and more, don't they?
They think, but hopefully we get funding and scientists and everybody really interested in, you know, where all this stuff is coming from.
Right. Interesting. So we've talked so far about marriage.
Marriage.
Friendship.
Friendship.
Spirituality.
Spirituality.
Personal purpose.
Personal purpose.
Some of those were big podcasts.
Big podcasts. Some were just fun.
That was, there were some hard ones to put out into the world, for me at least.
Yeah, they were, it was challenging. I'm like, maybe we don't want to put this
and
on.
And I'm like, we should probably not.
I'm all, don't put this on social media.
One of our instructors, though, she made a comment and it just actually brought a lot of peace to me. Hopefully her words like mean something to you too. I was like, you know, she said something about the podcast and then I said like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I've been really nervous about that podcast. And she said, hey, remember, you're allowed to come as you are too.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my God, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
Like nobody, you know, it's like, it's hard to put out your flaws, your struggles, your questions, your imperfection, you know, it's hard. And so I appreciate, I was like, oh yeah, duh. Like the whole come as you are thing, it applies to all of us.
Not just you.
Not just that one person over there. It's
right.
Like everybody. Everybody gets to come as they are.
Well,
so.
And that's what makes our podcast, I think, good sometimes is that it's not about, you know, perfectionism.
Let us tell you the way. We have all of the wisdom.
And of course, we're going to be offensive sometimes and entertaining at other times. Because don't you think entertainment and offensiveness kind of run together, I think, sometimes.
They do.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So we are coming as we are.
I think I should swear less, too.
Oh, well, my gosh, you're going to
love it. I get fired up, and then I just swear.
You're going to love this, because the other day we were listening to, like, it's like some hip-hop song or on the radio.
Yeah.
With Ray Ray, who's my 14-year-old eighth grader. He's a big person. And but it had a lot of swear words, and also swear words meaning stuff, like, you know, I'm going to get her type stuff.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, I can't listen to this. We can't
Not
listen
with
to
my
this.
Son.
And so I turned the station. He was like, you swear way more than that.
You do swear
and
a lot.
And I do. When he
you
was,
swear a lot.
And it was how he just totally caught me off guard. Like, and I'm like, oh, I do. I'm
but
like,
you don't swear that much in this podcast. I should tone it down.
I swear a lot in my personal life.
You do swear a lot in person.
In person. But I feel like mine isn't like, I'm going to throw him to the ground.
Yeah, it's not aggressive.
It's just using it as an embellishment.
Yeah, it adds emphasis is why you swear.
Yeah, it adds emphasis. So anyway, I apologize, Ray, if you're listening to this in years to come.
Sorry, Ray.
I do swear more than the man did.
That's okay. I like it when you swear. But you also are a therapist, so you're probably used to, like, not, you know, you're more controlled sometimes.
Yeah, I am more I think about my speech sometimes.
I need to do that more. Anyways.
Anywho's.
Okay.
What's the pillar today,
the
Kaylee?
The pillar today, penultimate pillar, is self-image and health.
What does penultimate mean?
Second to last.
Oh,
why
that's
do
my
you have
dog.
Animals crying?
Quiet.
We're in Bernice and Mike's bed right now. I was like, I don't know if I should be here.
Well, because Mike was in a meeting
this
in
bed
the basement.
He sees a lot of action.
Quiet.
We had the marriage podcast.
Did
I guess
we?
You didn't talk very much
I
about.
I didn't talk very much about. We didn't talk about sexuality. Anywho's, we're in my bedroom. So if you hear my dog
crying
because she wants to be in the room, but if she's in the room, then you'll hear this tick, 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 and then her little neck thing jingling, which I don't like. So just ignore it.
Anyways, okay. So penultimate.
Sex to last.
Sex to last.
Sex to last. Last.
That was okay. Yeah. So penultimate.
Whoa.
Okay. So self-image, health. Why do you think this made your list? Because it made my list too. But why did it make yours?
Oh, because of my own struggle with self-image and how it's changed over time, too, I think.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, growing up, it's like such a, I feel like, you know, you're kind of establishing your self-image.
Right.
I think when you're little, you don't really, I didn't really have a self-image, but maybe like
I don't think you do at that young age.
Middle school or in high school, you get a self-image.
Oh, for sure you get a, I feel like it's almost getting younger and younger when they get a self-image now. Man, I could be wrong.
Like fifth grade or do you think?
They're young now because little kids talk about like not liking their bodies and stuff now. It's really sad.
Yeah. And I think I've had boys for so long, not to be gender, but I had my daughter 29 years ago.
Right.
But now I'm still raising my whatever third boy. And he just seems not aware of his, it took him a while to get aware of his body.
Yeah.
And I don't know if girls get more aware earlier than boys
do. I think there's more emphasis on more female pressure. Bodies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that they become aware of it sooner.
Sooner and more,
impactfully, mm-hmm. deeply aware of their bodies.
Deeply, impactfully.
Yes.
Aware of their bodies. So self-image. And of course, self-image, we'll talk about a bunch of different things. One of them, just one aspect of self-image is physical appearance.
Right. So we were talking about this the other day with a group of friends and you started to get defensive about it.
Oh.
But I'm going to bring it up.
How unusual.
You got a little grumpy in the conversation.
If you know me, then that usually happens at some point in the day.
I'm like, do you need to eat? How's your blood sugar? An M&M perhaps? You're being a bitch.
How do we feed the lion? Feed yourself give her something.
But anyways, like you obviously were just a total stunner, as you still are. Long legs, like everybody obviously still talks about your long legs. You're almost 60. You were beautiful, tall, thin, a model, grew up in Hawaii on the beach, like tan. So did you like just feel like a total rock star?
No.
Okay.
No.
Interesting. So why?
Well, because I was ugly as a child.
Was that your perception?
That's my self-image.
That's your self-image.
But no, people would have said, yeah, they would have said.
But then at some point you know that you got so beautiful because they wouldn't have asked you to be a model if they didn't think you were beautiful.
Well, it was a very, very weird transition. Like right. Where nobody talked to you for years, you know. Where
because
like,
you were unattractive?
And they called me Big Bird. That was my nickname.
Wait, why would they not talk to you because you were unattractive?
Well, you know, how the certain girls were in a certain group, you know, like.
Okay.
And they. Even when they're like little, I guess this is what we're talking about for girls too. Like maybe third and fourth grade, or they were, you know, you could tell like they were the popular girls.
Yeah.
And I was tall and skinny and had like no chin and, you know, kind of straight weird hair. And I didn't have that, you know, I didn't have, and I was also terribly shy. So I didn't have many friends.
Okay.
And then. But something happened like right towards the end of middle school.
Yeah.
And where then I'm just like, what's happening? Yeah. And suddenly it's like, everyone's like, hey, how are you doing? And, you know, weird. And no, I was never invited to a party all through middle school. Like everyone's like, have you played Spin the Bottle?
I've never played Spin the Bottle either. I really wanted
Me
to.
Me too. And everyone's like, so we played Spin the Bottle at the party at Matt's house. And I'm like, you did? What happened? You know, and it was like,
I kissed Matt. That's yeah, what happened.
That's what I'm like, oh, really? So I never got to those parties or anything. And then I finally got to my last few months of eighth grade and I got invited to a party and then I got bucked off a horse and got a really bad concussion and couldn't go.
Oh, you missed your party.
My party. I was so excited.
So when you became the swan, then what? Then did you just feel like, oh yeah, I feel powerful? Because I would just imagine if I felt really beautiful, there is like a certain like, you know, I don't know, to have gone from no attention to all the attention. Like, how did that feel?
Well, then I got a boyfriend right away.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Someone didn't train me in empowerment.
Oh, so then you know you're what I mean? Just like yeah.
It'd be nice to know.
Like, oh, somebody thinks I'm pretty. Okay. Will you be my person?
Yeah. And then I'm like, sure. It's my person. And I dated him for 5 freaking years.
Yeah.
So it was like almost I
lost all that youth.
Didn't use my power well.
But isn't that weird though that like, I mean, I think it's a bummer, but it also is just how it is that like for people, I think obviously for men as well, like looks are power.
Especially in our youth. Jesus.
Well, even I feel like in older age too, don't you think?
Well, I feel like as I get older.
Yeah, so let's talk about you now.
Like, now I don't, I feel like.
How do you feel about yourself now?
Now I feel like I got a pass. Like, it's all like, you know, everyone's like, how old are you? You know, I'm like 58. They're like, oh my God. I'm like, that's right. You know, even though I'm just like, it's not like, you know, I'm on top of my game or anything, but it's like you start to age and everyone's just like, you can walk, you know?
Yeah.
It's like weird things. It's not like when you're young, it's all like, I feel like, well, my dad would say, like, are you breedable? Like, would people be like,
are you breedable?
You know,
yeah, do you have all the
intercourse with you? And
well, don't you think, I mean, like, what a, I mean, and this is kind of like, it's so antiquated, though, to think about it that way. But there is something primal about it, too. You know, it's tricky.
So primal.
Because part of it should be like, what? Like, no, that's not how we should be picking a partner. Like, if they are breedable, like that sounds so
but I
bad.
Think, and you guys can argue because it's very, it seems like a very shallow thing to say. But, but you know, there's research about it, you know, about how we pick partners and how partnerships tend to work. If you pick someone like in the same genre, like in terms of attractiveness, you know, and whatever, those seem to work or I don't know. But yeah, I feel like we look at people if they're breedable or not.
Right. Well, and I'm sorry we're going straight to just looks, but I just find it fascinating because you are so pretty. Mm. It's like I always wonder what it would be like to be like so pretty.
Well, I know you don't feel pretty when you're pretty. You know, how about all those top models? And they're all like, I never thought I was that pretty. Or there's always something. And the other thing about, you know, as we focus on, if you focus on physicality,
right,
then of course you're always going to have something to tear yourself down about. Like you just get nitpicky, like,
right,
well, then your chin is bad, or you have a bad stomach, or you have
big hips. Just look at all the things.
Even though you might look at some people and you're like, oh my God, that woman is gorgeous,
right?
But she's like, I hate my hips. Mm. You know, it's just that constant negative self-image
talk.
It's so terrible
we do that.
It's like that's the thing we have to change for ourselves is that. You know, and I think as I get older, I'm like I said, I'm like, it's more like people are like, well, you can go up and down the stairs.
You're like, yeah.
I'm all, yeah, I can.
Yeah, I can.
I'm like,
sometimes I trip and fall. But usually I can.
But now I'm all, yeah, that's right. I'm the stair climber. Versus in the old days.
Look at me. I'm almost 60. I can do the stairs.
I'm walking up and down the stairs like 7 times. Watch this. But when we're younger, it's so like. It's so nitpicky, like, so like, what are your lips like? And what are your eyes like? And what are your ears doing? And then what about your, how tall are you? Are you too tall? Are you not tall enough? Are you, you know?
Right. But you like still wear mascara every day and you still do all that stuff.
Oh yeah. Cause it makes me feel good too. Yeah. I'm like, I want to feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though there's no one that I'm probably going to breed.
Well, let's hope you're done. Which is crazy that men can breed for so long.
They can breed their whole lives.
Like, what a crazy thing.
It's like my great-grandfather had a kid when he was 60.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, Catherine McPhee, that actress, now she's with that guy who's 70, who's friends with Prince and Meghan.
Oh yeah, Meghan and Harry.
Yeah, Meghan and Harry.
Yeah.
And it's this dude, he's like 70 years old. He's like a father to Harry. I was reading up. Well, I'm watching The Crown, so now I'm obsessed with the royal family again.
Oh, yeah.
But he's 70 years old.
Like, and he's having a baby?
Jesus.
He's having a baby with her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So you can just, you can do it. Like,
that must feel really powerful to be like, yeah, I can breed my whole life.
Yeah, they don't even have to think about it. They're like, you know, Mike could go out and have a baby tomorrow.
Well, like Rudy Giuliani, I know we keep talking about that, but that dude is old. Just to be like, that young reporter you think wants to just get in your pants?
And he thought
oh,
she
yeah,
did.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Well, of course, he's a man of power,
and
too.
He's, he's like, I'm
viral. Viral. Viral.
I have virility.
I'm viral.
I'm viral. He probably is. He was viral.
You got the virus.
Anyways,
but about physicality.
So, yes. And then we'll move away from physicality because that is not all about self-image.
No, that's one piece of self-image.
But it does have to do with health a bit.
It does, for sure.
A bit.
Because we wanted to tie self-image to health.
Yeah, because when we were picking these last two pillars, we're like, well, I do think self-image is a big one, but also health is a big one. And then also, you know, the other one we want to talk about next time. So we grouped these together because they do, especially for my personal journey, I think probably for your personal journey too, mm-hmm. health and image are very, very, very closely tied.
Well, think about the tumor I just had.
The loaf of bread that was removed. your cosmetic surgery, which was not cosmetic. Which that wasn't cosmetic.
No,
was
it wasn't cosmetic. It was kind of in the way.
You got.
It was in the way. But that, like when I had the tumor, it was a lipoma, let's just say. It's a fatty tumor.
Fatty tumor. Let's just call a spade a spade. It's a fatty.
My son's like, isn't that what golden retrievers
get? Yeah, the dogs get them real bad.
Yes. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Yes. But when I had it, I felt less attractive.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because I'm always aware of it.
And what does it matter to you how attractive you feel?
It obviously matters.
It matters.
It was just like a lump on my ribcage.
Right.
Like, who cares?
Right.
But it was affecting my sense of self.
Right.
It was affecting whether I felt good.
Yeah.
And then it was like, but you think, who would care?
Right. Yeah, and it's tricky. And I think it's tricky, too, in the context of Ula, because we always say,
it's not about how it looks.
It's about how it feels, mm-hmm. you know? And so, but there is, you know, there is part of it that you care.
I care. Yeah. And then it was like, you have it removed. And I'm like, I feel better.
Right. Well, it was getting in your way too.
It was hard to breathe.
When you would go upside down in Ula One, didn't it like hurt? It would go up to your lungs.
And crush into my lung. And I'm like, what is happening? Because I didn't know I had it. I thought I had a really big abdominal muscle. I'm like, well, check out this muscle on your rib cage. Finally, the doc's like, that's not a muscle. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's big. It bulges on one side, quite large. But when I'd go upside, when I'd invert, it would kind of cut off my air. Like, Kaylee's like, now your airway will feel cut off. And I'm like,
oh, I'm like, breathe through it.
It was like this giant tumor folding in into my lungs. But on top of that, in terms of health, for a while, I thought it might be cancer because I had cancer before.
So you're just triggered by that.
And then right away, it was that weird feeling that I've gotten with cancer before. And I don't know if you folks who've had cancer feel that way too, but where I'm like, your body is fucked up.
Oh.
Like you want to kill yourself.
Oh.
Like you have a bad body. Mm. Like it's growing things that are going to kill you.
Oh, sad.
And it makes you feel like you're less than everybody else.
Oh, interesting.
Like everyone I would look at, I'm like, she doesn't have a tumor.
Oh.
She probably doesn't have a tumor.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have a tumor. I'm mm-hmm. like, but you do.
Uh-huh.
And your body is bad. You have mm-hmm. a bad body.
Yeah.
And so it made me like attack my own, not for its appearance, but for its doing what it was doing.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is your problem?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's also a weird thing to deal with psychologically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what about you?
What about me? What's mm-hmm. the question?
Mm-mm.
We just covered 18 minutes. Which part about me?
Well, I know your physical self, that played a big role.
Right.
In your youth.
Wait, which part? Oh, because I never.
Self-image.
Yeah. Well, I was in ballet.
Oh, yeah, ballet.
That just really messed me up.
Yeah, my daughter tried ballet and she finally was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, and not like I had an amazing teacher. Like it wasn't, I never got shamed. Like it was never one of those situations where people would be like,
you're too big.
Yeah, never, 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 never. Like it was a really actually super healthy. Oh my God. Why do you burp all the time? It's disgusting.
It's like, it's something in my, probably because I have a bad body.
You have a bad body.
Bad body.
Yeah, no, it wasn't because.
BB.
BB. It wasn't because of anything like that. I never got that type of stuff. But you can just tell. You can just tell if you have the different body.
Well, and you see the people.
And you see the people.
It's that comparison.
And it looks so beautiful when they're thin. Those ballerinas who are so thin. It's like so gorgeous.
It was even like the video I posted of the ballerina with Alzheimer's. Did you see her dancing to Swan?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched that.
Her hands.
The hand, like everything is.
She's still, I was mesmerized. This is like a 95-year-old woman with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
But the way she moved her arms and her hands.
Totally.
It just gives me goosebumps even thinking about that she still, she was, it's just part of her body.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I never looked like that.
Nor did I. It's a very special thing. But anyways, yeah, no, I never felt beautiful. I never felt sexy, attractive. I've like that just isn't how I felt mm-hmm. really about myself. Ever. I mean, sometimes I feel good.
Now you do more.
I think now, and I think I have a husband who's like really appreciative and complimentary.
And he's hot.
And he's hot. Like he's, yeah, he's super hot. And I find him very attractive. And I know he finds me very attractive. So that, you know, makes
me
feel good.
And other women find him attractive. I mean.
Like you?
Like me.
It's okay. I think your husband's hot too. We just walked in on his Zoom call and I'm like, Mike.
Hello, he's talking.
You're looking pretty good.
The businessman.
Yeah, he looked like so professional.
He's all yes.
And he's like the boss in charge and he's so calm and like.
I know. It's like he'll take care of
you. He'll
things.
Take care of you.
Yeah, like, he's like, I got it.
Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, so what maybe where I got like, distracted by thinking
that?
About your husband?
Okay. I talked about your husband.
Okay, so anyway. So he makes me feel really good.
But I think your body image
has improved.
Physical body image has improved.
I think it's improved
since
too.
We've been friends.
Yeah, I think it's improved too.
Which is funny because it's after having babies and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's, I mean, my relationship with body image is very complicated. Like most, again, gender generalizing. I think a lot of women have a complicated relationship with body image.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's this. Also is a tricky conversation to talk about on a podcast,
mm-hmm.
Especially as, you know, basically owners of a company that really chooses not to ever talk about body image
mm-hmm.
and that the focus is not on the body. Like this actually feels kind of challenging to talk about on a
mm-hmm.
podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much I want to talk about it actually. You mm-hmm. know, it feels like I don't know if this is healthy.
Of course. To explore it, just we all know that everyone is not everyone, but many of us deal with self-image
yeah,
and battling
totally.
Our own physical. And that's what we hope with Ula is that when we're in that period of time all together dancing, wherever, whether it is virtually or in person, to me, it's almost a meditative practice.
It is.
Where I get away from.
It's the 1 hour. It's the space where that.
Doesn't matter to me. And that's the thing I found is sometimes I'll see myself on film later.
The film is triggering.
And then I'll be like, oh no. Because when I'm in that moment, I feel totally organic and
yeah.
accepted.
Me too.
Myself accepted and accepting of others.
Me too.
But then the filming,
it's really hard
something.
With Vimeo because I can see my body and I can see it change throughout the videos, throughout all the years. And there's so much like self, like shame, like, you know,
attached.
Every time I review choreography, every single week, I have to relive that stuff, you know, like it's actually really interesting. But I would say my real true journey to health was poor body image.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those things that's like the treasure, the gift is always like it really lives in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cave is where the treasures are hidden. And like, I have dived deep into that cave. You know, like when I was early 20s, I dealt with like really bad hair loss. You know, like talk about something that makes you feel unattractive, strips you of your femininity. Like hair is representative of beauty and of youth and of like health. Like, you know, that was gone. I've had terrible acne throughout my life. I've had, you know, like just, you know, not being super thin, like all of these things. Oh, even issues with fertility. Like I have had all of the things, not all the things, but it felt like all the things
yeah.
to me that make you feel unattractive as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so it really like when I started to experience like these really weird health issues all around, you know, it's not like I had like a gallbladder issue. I had things that were so, so on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Skin, hair, you know, it's like.
Especially at your youth, in your youth.
At like
too.
20.
Yeah, it's like it's such a.
Oh, we were talking about like I was so embarrassed to go to prom because I had to put on a prom dress and I had like acne all over my chest and back. And I was so ashamed to like take my shawl off or whatever at prom, you know, like. But the cool thing is, like, I think if I had just been, like, if I had always been, like, really beautiful.
Yeah.
This is a bad thing to say, but I think I would have been kind of a shallow person because I would have been like, sweet. Yeah. Awesome. I don't have, like, this is great, you mm-hmm. know? And it's almost like God, the universe, my path, whatever, knew that I needed these types of issues to come into my life mm-hmm. so that I could do the deeper personal work mm-hmm. rather than just be like, oh, cool. Like, I've got everything that I, you know, right. that I need, that I want. Look at me. Look how pretty I am. Like, I don't know. I think maybe if I had all that, I would have rested on that.
Yeah.
But I've never had that to rest on.
You wouldn't have explored deeper in terms into of who your I am physicality and body and movement
and
even.
Spirituality yeah. and like, yeah, all of the reasons that make me feel like I'm not a shitty person, mm-hmm. you know, because if I just stayed on the surface, I would have lived in just that self like hate, shame, embarrassment, mm-hmm. you know? And so I was really forced to go underneath the surface, literally and figuratively, to find my true path and purpose. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, yeah, it sucked. And, you know, whenever I get little relapses in any of those areas, they're really triggering for me. Mm-hmm. They're really hard for me to, you know, I mean, I've done them enough. I've gone through those cycles enough that I'm like, okay, this doesn't last forever. I know how to get out of this. Like, I've been here before. And so it's not as intense as it was. But yeah, when you're 21 and like, you have all, it's just all these things. You're like, I feel like fucking shit about myself. But luckily, my Prince Charming came in and just like loved me so hard through all of that. Like mm-hmm. I met him when I was 20 at the peak of all of this, or right. at the beginning
the
of all of it.
Beginning of it.
I mean, he lived with me through all of these like really, really rough years.
Yeah.
Where I just felt terrible about myself.
Right.
So that was helpful, I think, too.
Yeah. And that you also have this human just seeing you. No, beyond what you see.
Beyond, yeah.
Because
yeah,
I love, I want to read what they say about self-image.
Yeah, please do.
Because I thought this was so interesting. So self-image, there's three points. The way a person perceives or thinks of herself. Mm-hmm. The way a person interprets others' perceptions of herself. And the way a person would like to be.
Oh, that's so cool.
The ideal self.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's true. You have perceptions of yourself.
Right.
And then you have perceptions of what you think others see you.
Yeah. Isn't that so crazy?
That's so interesting. And then you also have a perception of who you should be, your ideal self.
Yeah. I think that third one, like, well, they're all challenging.
They're all challenging.
They're all
yeah.
really challenging,
because
actually.
How you think about yourself, sometimes it's negative, whatever it might be. Right. Sometimes it's positive. And then also a lot of us, and then all, the other point is, are you extrinsically or intrinsically motivated?
Motivated, sure.
So if you're extrinsically motivated, you're always looking at others. Like,
how
do you perceive me today?
Yeah.
How do you perceive me today? And so right. that's constantly changing how you perceive yourself.
Yeah.
That's kind of like,
ooh, that's,
whoa.
That's a hard way to
be. And then there's the intrinsically motivated people who are very clear. They're very motivated by how they see themselves. They're not swayed by how others see them. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes those people are odd too, though, because they're just like, they're like,
I don't care,
whatever. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You
right.
know? And you're like, well, wait. All these other people are just giving you feedback about that. And they're like,
yeah.
I'm intrinsically motivated. I think I'm on the right path. It's like, okay.
Yeah, totally.
And then our ideal self, of course, is, you know, how we want to be, or how we, you know, how, we, you know.
Well, I think that it's that can almost be a little bit of a comparison between how we feel that we are and how we want to be,
mm-hmm.
or how we wish that we were.
How we and that can make you unhappy too.
It totally can make you unhappy.
You're like, look at you. Like for me, sometimes I get jealous, or I compare myself to another and I feel less than.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, but then I double shame myself because I'm like, what is your problem?
Yeah, totally.
Why would you even think that?
Mm-hmm.
Versus just being like, we just read this. We love this one newsletter we get, Mark Manson newsletter.
Yeah, you guys subscribe to it. It's so good.
It's such a good
Monday
newsletter.
Monday morning.
And one of the things he wrote about was you can have negative thoughts, but you don't have to judge them against yourself. It's more like, you know.
Wait, but he was saying one is self-awareness and the other is self what did he say it was?
What's the other one.
But he said self-awareness is like you're just observing. Oh, yes, I just had this thought, but I'm not going to judge myself for having that thought.
Good point.
And the other
is you judge yourself.
You judge yourself for the thought.
Yeah. Versus like, I'm jealous, you know?
And then you're just like, okay, you're jealous.
You're jealous. Let's make note of that.
Just make note of that.
You're jealous. But if sometimes I think I'm jealous and good people don't get jealous.
What was the topic? We got to find that because that was actually really interesting.
It was maybe we'll try and attach it to this.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, we can try.
This news.
That sounds
this,
hard.
This isn't a newsletter. To this newsletter.
But yeah, no, I think those 3 points that you just brought up, mm-hmm. those are really interesting. And yeah, the internal versus external motivation.
That's another good point because – again, when we talk about, we'll go back to physicality again, but then let's change it. But so maybe you see a beautiful person.
Yeah.
And so you perceive them as beautiful.
Yes.
So that's your perception of them.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps that person doesn't perceive themselves yes. as beautiful.
Exactly.
So you're all, and I'm like, you know.
I know, but you're like, but if I looked like you, I would perceive yeah. myself as beautiful.
Right, and exactly. it's like, yeah. And you're like, I would be so happy or
totally. Yeah,
so
you think
confident.
It's like the key that would just unlock your like door to bliss.
But that's, but oftentimes you'll talk to people that we perceive as attractive or beautiful and
right.
they'll be like, oh no, you know, they have all these hidden.
All these demons that they're battling
negative
with.
Negative self-image as well.
Well, it's fascinating too because I think as – I mean, God, age just is really kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
It like as I age, I've noticed that I really I think a lot this past year too is I'm starting to accept both for myself and oddly enough for Ula that she and I just are who we are,
mm-hmm.
not who maybe I would want us to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. or try to be.
Or their own entities.
Well, not even that, but it's like, you know, I'm always like, well, do people actually perceive Ula as mind body? Or do they know that we dance to Meghan Trainor and then are we just totally discredited or undervalued in like the mind body world because we're dancing to Meghan Trainor? And like, you know what? Finally this year, I've just been kind of like, fuck it. We do dance to Meghan Trainor. And guess what? It's really fun.
We like it.
And you know what? It also is it's a mind-body experience. Like, it is these things. And I just have gotten to the point where I'm tired of, like, trying so hard. Or going back to your three things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sick of being so concerned with how others perceive it. And I just want to let Ula be, like, who she is.
Good point.
And I'm working on that with myself, too. Being like, oh, I wish I were more, like, you know, I wonder if people perceive me as a certain way or am I, you know, should I be making my own teas and at home? Like,
right.
am I, you know, witchy enough or am I like, you know, like in tune with the earth enough and all
yeah.
these things? And so, and then I've got to be like, you know what? You just are who you are. And are there ways you can improve? Yes. Are there ways that you can constantly be evolving and growing and learning? Yes. But you also have to just accept that you are who you are and you're being called to the work that you're meant to be doing. And you have to just trust that it's actually good enough, that you don't have to be something else to be who you're meant to
according
be.
According to what you think the other people are perceiving.
Want or, yeah,
because
perceive.
That, again, we talked about that and how it's constantly changing too.
Yeah.
Right? It could be like
yeah.
one woman loved Meghan Trainor, you know, or like 100 people loved it and then 100 people didn't like it.
Yeah.
Versus like, we don't care. Or, you know, like we care. But I mean, it's like we're being true to the entity,
right? And I also think there's something in like the spiritual world, you know, all those teachers and leaders and mentors. Like, I honestly think some of them need to have more fun. I'm like, I think you actually would really love Ula if you didn't, you know, if you gave it a try,
if you let go a little bit, too.
Yeah, just like let yourself go. And I feel someone was talking to me about this, how they've noticed how all of their like great spiritual mentors have been talking about the importance of joy. And, you know, Ula is really joyful.
It's really joyful.
It's really, really joyful.
We just danced today.
Oh, my God. I feel
Kaylee's
so
class
good.
Today.
It's so fun.
It was emotional. There was emotional qualities to it. But really, in the end, you end up with this tremendous amount of joy.
You do. I just feel so joyful.
And gratitude.
So I have to be like, I don't care. Like, and I almost just now said, like, whatever, haters are going to hate. But then I had to pause and be like, no, this is my self-image. Like, I don't even care. Like, who are the haters even hating? Like, why am I even thinking about them? It's like, good why point. Would I even be like, haters are going to hate? Like, they're maybe they're not even hating out mm-hmm. there. You know, like, what are you even talking about? Mm-hmm. But that's my self-image. That's my perception. And that's my being like, oh, my God, I wish I didn't like Meghan Trainor. But guess what? I do.
Yeah.
I like her. Yeah. She's fun to dance to, you know? So that's where I'm working on my self-image of like, fuck it. You are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are and who you are. And it doesn't make you any less like –
Enlightened
or like, you know, on
in
a
touch.
On a path or yeah. whatever, you know?
Right. Are so, you, yeah, that's such a good point because when we look at self-image again, just what we were saying, it's the way the person perceives themselves. It's also the way others interpret you, how you interpret how others perceive yes. you.
Then that's the key word, and, how you interpret.
And that's how, yo, good point. Because of course we often, and we've learned this many times. Our
lenses too.
It's our lens. And then I talk to the person and they're like, I never saw it that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, you didn't?
Yeah.
Well, when you made that one comment, I thought you were thinking this. They're like, oh no, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking this.
You're like, oh.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I went down a whole stuff. Different rabbit hole myself.
I know. It's so funny.
And like, that's where you get in trouble with that interpretation of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, that takes up so much time and space.
Don't you think like most people are thinking more about themselves anyways? Like this whole thing, you know, we're just like talking about, oh, I, like how people see us. And most of them, they're probably thinking about how we see them. You know, everyone's like, more concerned with how other people are seeing them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, I don't even care if you guys dance to Meghan Trainor. I have no idea. Like, I mean, this is such a dumb example that I keep bringing up. I have no idea why I'm using it. But that's just one small thing.
No, that's such a great point because I've told this story 100 times and I apologize. But when I was young, you know, it would take me like – when I got into high school, I would wake up at 5 a.m. to do my hair and makeup.
Oh.
To go to school to leave at 7. And my dad, finally, I'm sure he's just like, what is happening to her? Because yeah. I was never like that all through.
But then you got pretty and then you.
But so then it was like, oh, you have to like really like take care of this whole thing. Like, you yeah. know, it's really working because I'd never had that before, right, that right, attention right. per se. And so I remember my dad talking to me, pulling me aside one day because he would drive me to school. Maybe it was in the car. And he was like, how much do you think people think about you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, a lot.
Yeah.
They think, you know, because I'm young. I'm like 14. I'm like, a lot. They think about me a lot. And he was like, you know what they're really thinking about? They're thinking about what you're thinking about them.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's thinking about you.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, they are. He was like, they're not.
Totally.
Everyone's concerned about how they're perceived.
Totally.
That like blew my mind. And as I got older, I just totally remember that. Like, they're not thinking about me. And then I kind of figured that out. Like, they're not.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't about me at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally. That's exactly what we're talking about. And I think that's so relevant. I think most of the time people are thinking about themselves,
mm-hmm.
not about mm-hmm. you.
They're either thinking about themselves, how they're perceiving themselves,
or how you're perceiving them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So why do we care? So I mean, it's just so funny. It's like a
human paradigm.
Or, you know, have you ever been out somewhere and then you realize, oh my God, I had like a poppy seed in my teeth the whole time. Was everybody staring? I'm like, probably people didn't care.
Nobody cared.
Maybe they saw it and then nobody cared.
Yeah.
What are they going to like? You know, it's just
although
so funny.
We did like the fly in Pence's hair.
Oh, yeah. Well, there were a lot of analogies that,
yeah, that was
could go along with that.
And of course, that happens, too. And I'm hoping that even for Vice President Pence, it's obviously flies land in people's hair all the time. So it's not a big deal. But it just happened to happen at the time it happened.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I think the whole being on film, though, that is very hard for me.
Film is weird.
Film is really, really hard for me. Like, I don't know, all the weekly Vimeos, like that's actually really challenging for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, but it's interesting. Like I have a, you know, weight being one of my self image issue things too. And, you know, I was never very thin. There was like maybe a year at the beginning of Ula where I got pretty thin,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, Rob was out of the country. I was living alone. Like I was,
you were depressed.
I was depressed. I was teaching way too much. Like I would like take a nap before every class. And then at the end, I'd be like so tired.
Yeah, you looked really tired all the time too.
Yeah. And like, even now it's triggering when people are like, oh my God, you were so thin, because I immediately think like, oh my God, I was better. Yes. You know, like, oh my God, they're noticing or they're saying like how
culture, yeah,
how great like, oh, it look looked. How thin you were. And then I'm always like, you know, constantly comparing, like, I know what number that was on the scale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good point.
And I know that now, like, I'm literally
very
like
good point.
7 pounds more than I was at that moment. But I'm yeah. like, oh my God, 7 pounds away from, and I'm like, oh my God. And so lately, like, you know, I just have to, like,
it. You didn't look good then.
Yeah, I mean, it, yeah.
I know, like, my family has a lot of weight issues. Like, yeah, it's my family does too. Talking about
talked about
weight. In my family, I'm large. Like, I'm the biggest person. Like, everyone's like, wow, you're pretty big. I'm like, I am big. I've always been big. I'm 5'10". There's nothing right, I can do about that. Right. But it is it's weird when people are so aware of weight, you know,
totally.
Where it's just like, wow, but I feel good. You know, as an older person yeah. now, part of me is like, I feel good.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Maybe I'm not that number that I should be.
Totally.
But geez, I feel good. And like, even you then, you didn't look good. Like, you didn't feel, I could be being around you. You didn't yeah, feel good.
Totally.
You know, you look tired and just,
I was tired.
Kind of like someone took a rag and just like took all the water out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
She lost all her water.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, totally. All your,
I know, it's just, it's hard. Like, I wish it wasn't such a trigger
but
for me.
But our culture is like, so like, you know, like, but well, that boy, is, when you were thin, I'm like, well, I was 15.
Right.
That's well, and not that
is
happen.
Like, I do think that is the beauty of ULA mm-hmm. is it's like, I don't ever, I actually can honestly say, like, when I'm dancing, I don't think about how I look.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't, I just, I don't, it's not a part of what I'm thinking about. I'm just like in this really special magical space where it doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, I don't,
like today dancing,
I can't see it. I don't feel it. I don't notice it on anybody else. Like, it's really,
oh no,
it's like we're in our
like
natural,
we're almost like, as I've said before, like beings of light.
Yeah.
When we're all dancing together, mm-hmm. when before the pandemic. And it would feel like just this tremendous amount of energy, mm-hmm. energy beings, but no physical form almost. Mm-hmm. Like people didn't have physical forms. Like mm-hmm. when you look around the room, it's more an energy.
It is. It's just
and
an
you
energy.
Sense the energy,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see the physical form.
You know what I was thinking that I miss so much about our weekend empowerment weekends, our mm-hmm. weekend long empowerment weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's redundant. Thank you.
I was trying to do it a
weekend
second time, and it didn't get any better.
Weekends, of weekend long. Weekends that were empowerment weekends. Yes, we understand. Thank you.
Do you know how long they were? They were a weekend.
2 days.
They were a weekend long.
That's in America. Those weekend. Are 2 days. Weekends.
So I just always find it so interesting that Saturday morning when we all sit down, like, I'll look at people, obviously, we look at them and we go around a circle. And, you know, I think that just being a human with the brains that we have, you just kind of are like, you just start to like organize people in your head.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this woman is blonde. She's in her 50s, you know, whatever. Right. You can kind of just like,
you start to categorize.
You just are like,
bit.
Yeah, I'm like,
for
I,
recognition
I'm
purposes.
Yeah,
almost.
Just for recognition, not to like, for nothing for negative or judgmental.
No.
It's just like, I'm understanding a basic understanding of who this person is.
Yes. Right. This is their story. Yeah.
But it's fascinating. Like every single time there's like this thing that happens on Sunday afternoon when we're all exhausted and everybody has just like after the people have taught their song on Sunday and then we sit down like with them, I cannot tell you how many times I have this moment where I look at them and I'm like, oh, that's what you look like.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good, I love that.
It happens every single time on
yeah.
Sunday, not with every single human there, but it happens with many of
quite
the people.
A few. Yeah.
Many of the people they sit down after they teach, they just did something totally amazing and inspiring and brave and super cool. And they sit down and I'm like, holy shit, I didn't know that that's what you looked like. Like, that's what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's something inside of either me or them or
mm-hmm.
just the moment changes. And it's like, oh, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things that my brain categorized
yeah.
about them
fall away.
It's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, that's who you
are. That is cool. Yeah.
I really miss that. Like, I really miss.
Well, and that's that energy connection.
I feel
very connected. I suddenly know their story. Uh-huh. Like, it goes way beyond physicality. It goes I know the soul. Like, I just saw your soul.
See what your soul looks like.
Yeah, you see the soul. And I'm like, oh, there's Jane's soul. I'm like, oh. And I think she saw mine too, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that kind of integrated feeling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I really miss that.
That's why it's so psychologically healing.
It totally is. And going back, you know, people show up to those experiences for the most part, like, guarded or nervous. Some people are just like, this is just who I am. But there are a lot of people who show up guarded. And it's almost interesting because it's like they energetically are in a way putting up a block to show their soul underneath their appearance in a way.
They don't feel safe.
And so for me, then I'm like, okay, like, I'm picking up on what you're allowing me to see into. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. But it's really cool that as the weekend goes on, it's like you can almost watch all of those things just come away. And we're really not left with this like self-image or perception or anything. It's almost just like the realness is experienced in a way that like image, perception, they just aren't a part of that moment. Mm-mm. And I think that's another really cool thing about experiences like ULA, is it's like that stuff somehow does get stripped out of the way in which we interact with each other.
It's so interesting because you go back to self-image, then the people are covering themselves.
They are.
Because they're afraid of how they're perceived.
Of being seen, perceived, what the perception is.
So they've learned it's unsafe. So I've got to put my blanket up a little bit or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you slowly start to like lower it down.
And then you're like, oh, there you are. Oh my God.
Hello.
Look at you. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, I'm not thinking about what you think about me. You're not thinking about what I think about you. Nobody's putting up the barriers. Nobody's putting on the perception. Mm-hmm. We're just like seeing each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talk about. You know, that is a safe space to be seen and felt and heard and loved. And, you know, of course, we're going to talk about ULA in this podcast because, hello, it's an ULA podcast. ULA, I totally realize, is not the only place that these spaces exist, but I do feel that it's a very powerful one and a very accessible one for me personally. Mm-hmm. Like, I need those moments again in my life. Like, I miss those moments of just humans totally being open to being seen. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time, I mean, in society, at least in most of the things that I do in my life, you're meeting people who are in most ways, and myself included, putting up those elements of, this is how I want you to see me. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm going to show you. Or this is what I, you know, this is my shit. And so I protect myself by doing this. Like, we usually are meeting people through these layers of protection and perception and, you know,
and
insecurity,
hard to get through.
Myself, yourself, anybody. If you go to the store right now and meet a stranger, you're not going to like stare. There are layers, no matter
layers,
what.
Layers, yeah.
And I just miss these experiences with humans where the layers get stripped away.
Yeah.
Like the intimacy of ULA is really profound.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. And we don't really have that in other things we do. You know, I think maybe people do in sports sometime, different type of sports, or maybe some type of teamwork stuff, you know, where things become, or even probably war. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Where you're just like,
I'm sure war.
Here we go. Like, we're not going to have anything. Like, it's you and me. Like,
yeah.
And your little group is like, your battalion's like, here we go. Like, could be my last day.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're all together.
Well, you know, even
like,
I feel.
And all that stuff has to strip away if you're going to.
Totally. It's like,
you know,
you can't be insecure right now. Like,
you can't
wondering.
You can't have all those self-image things going in. Like, no. We have to be connected right now.
If you are stuck in the, oh, they don't think I'm good enough or strong enough or whatever.
Or
you
smart
can't be
enough.
There.
Yeah.
You have to just be there.
You have to be there.
And show
suddenly
up.
Things are happening all around and all that falls away. Like, you're like, I'm here. I'm right here.
I bet even though like when, I don't know, this is, I don't know what all types of wars look like these days, but it seems like when killing the enemy was more intimate, mm-hmm. they had that moment too. You know, like you see it in the shows, like the shows, you know, that I've watched, right. like the timepiece ones where they may like stab him and then they're just locked eyes.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
And it's like, I can see you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these are the last eyes I'm going to see. And
I, it almost feels respectful.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you're kind of like, you're my enemy and I have to kill you. But there's that moment where they're just like, you just feel that they can just like see each other.
Oh, yeah.
All the layers of you're this, I'm that, you're the enemy, you're bad, I'm good, right. whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's all stripped away.
I'm fighting for that.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just.
And this is my last moment on earth. You know, like the and person, what an and the other person is like, this is, and I will be the last eyes you see.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure it feels like a great honor. See.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In a way, you know?
Yeah. And it's just like hard for us to get that stuff.
It is. Life. It's totally hard. And we're so protective. You
well,
know?
It's
we're
all
so...
our, you see how our self-image is like so.
Well, and it's such a bummer because self-image, like, I feel like so many people, especially women, you know, they can just rely on their looks without having to go into those depths sometimes yes. because you do know that there's this power.
Or they use their looks as a guard.
And or totally you know as a guard. Like, and sometimes people are like,
I've done my hair, I've got my boobs done, I had my face done, whatever it is, folks. I don't, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I feel like sometimes it's more like you're almost armoring yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have my armor on.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, your armor is, but like sometimes I meet those women, I'm like, you are very powerful armor.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like, you don't even need to say any, like, no. you know, you kind of just see someone so beautiful and you're
not
like, I don't even care if you're nice. Cause I just kind of want to look at you.
Yeah.
Right
I'm kind of in awe.
I know you just kind of are.
Yeah. It's a weird thing.
Isn't it so strange?
It is weird.
It's like just being like, just not that pretty makes you have to work a little bit harder
right.
in some ways.
Or like even for them, like they work so, some of them work so hard.
That's so
you
true.
Know, to
yes.
get there and
yes.
you feel it. Like, I'm like, she'll never talk to me. She worked really hard to get there, you know, or
right.
I don't
right.
know what it is. Like
we were
hiking on the trail the other day and my husband was like, you're afraid of people. And I'm like, I am kind of afraid.
Cause you totally are.
I can't walk alone. Like I'm up there. Like, what if I had passed? We passed maybe.
Passed?
I walked by.
Like died?
No, walked by six groups of people.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, here comes a person.
Like, well,
I had
it
to
is
prepare
COVID.
Myself.
It is COVID.
But I wasn't even thinking of COVID. It was more like,
oh, it wasn't.
And
you weren't.
We look at each other or not look at each other? Should I look? Should I not look?
Right.
Should I smile? Should I not smile?
Even, but how dumb is that? Because I do that too. We were on a walk on Thanksgiving and we were on this trail.
Do they think I'm rude?
No, I'm like, yeah, of course I go to, I wonder what they're thinking of me right now. I'm like,
what the fuck is that about?
Why?
We're
why
on
do
a
you care?
Fucking trail.
I'm never going to see you again in my life.
Never
like, why would I even care what
and
you think of me?
It's a beautiful day and we're outside.
But I do kind of wonder, I'm like, should I smile?
Oh, I had
say have a good day.
Every time I saw a group, because it was on the trail where you could see people coming, and I'm all,
what am I gonna say?
And just Mike's like, here's my dog. And I'm like, here's his dog. You know? He was like, you are so uncomfortable. I'm like, no, I'm not. But I something about, and that is tied to self-image, I think.
It totally is.
Like that, how are they perceiving me in
totally.
This 1 second, 2 second encounter?
Totally.
Who gives a shit?
Well, especially if you put your sense of identity in how people perceive you, it's really challenging.
Yeah, that's such a good.
Because I even think about like.
You know, and I don't have control in that situation.
Right.
For me, it's all about control. Too.
Yeah.
Like if I'm talking to people, I have control.
Yes.
To a group like.
Well, that's why you like to speak to big groups because you're like, I'm in control of this moment.
And I don't have to worry about one or two. It's like a whole, it's like a morph. It's like giant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But one or two people. And then I'm like, she looked at me weird.
I just don't like.
All these weird cueing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Weird.
In a big group, I can't read so many cues all, you know, I can't.
Totally.
I'm like, they laughed.
Totally.
Isn't that, but like if I have one or two people, I can see their cue right away. And then I'm like, she liked it? She didn't like it.
Right. I know. Isn't that so funny? Oh my God.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
I know. I mean, it just really makes us
and
stifled.
Of course, we got out of the physical part, which I wanted to, because now we're talking about personality.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
We are.
Too? That's tied into personality and whether I'm perceived as smart or capable.
Do you think I'm smart? Do you think I'm, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
think, you know, I mean.
Oh
like,
yeah. Sometimes I
do
get
think
nervous.
I'm friendly or mean? her, you know.
Well, and even sometimes I'm like, oh, I have to be this type of person for people to like Ula, because they have to think that, you know, the person in charge of this business is a certain way. But then sometimes I'm like, I'm just not that way.
No. And that, I think, makes the business more interesting. Right. Versus the people where you're like, I run body.
Well, I think if you run a business that's named after yourself, basically, then it does matter more.
Yes.
You know, like, for example, like, I mean, you know, that I love Rachel Braithen, Yoga Girl, but I mean, her business is Yoga Girl. So she has to be like, she is her business.
She is her business versus like Booty Yoga, maybe, which is separate. I mean, you could right. see someone else could own it now or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love what your person said. Kaylee saw someone recently for a reading or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And she said how Ula was a separate entity.
Right.
It's its own. That really helped me.
Yeah.
Because I get confused about, like, is it us? Is it you? You know, what if we do something wrong? Or mm-hmm. But then when I see her as separate, I'm like, oh, she just seems much more global.
Ula.
Yeah. Ula herself.
Yeah. We've started referring to her as her now. Yeah. She is her own deal now.
She gets into everyone's hearts and souls.
And it's not us. It feels like so much less responsibility.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I got in her heart.
I actually don't care if you like me, but I do want you to like Ula. I don't actually care so much if you like me.
Yeah.
Ula's not me, you, an individual. Ula is her own.
Like, even thing. Class today, I'm like, oh, this is Ula.
Yeah. This is Ula. She's speaking. We just get to be like her little stewards. Yeah, is that the right word?
Yeah. Yeah, stewards, and yeah, we're her stewards. We're like taking care of her.
We're like, sure, come through me.
Yeah, come through me.
Yeah, I'd love for you to come through me.
You go into that person's heart and soul. You're mm-hmm. doing a great job.
I think that's also been good for me too, because at the beginning with Ula, I was like, I really hope they like me as a person.
Yeah.
They have to like me so that they like Ula, and if they don't like me. If they don't like me, they won't like Ula. And if they like Ula, then surely they'll like me, right? You know, thinking I was going to get people to like me if they liked what I do.
Yes.
There's a cool Ani DeFranco song, and she said she's like out on tour, and so she's singing about having been out on tour, and then she goes home to her partner, and he goes, did they love you or what? And she goes, they love what I do. The only one who will ever love me is you. And I thought that was beautiful. It's like, that's fine. You know, it's like, Ula is her own thing. Mm-hmm. She just happened to, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about ideas like this, that there's just ideas floating around, floating. And it's like trying to find a person. Like, can I come through you? Mm-hmm. And some people can be like, yeah, I'm ready for this idea. I'm ready. Like, I would be honored to.
I shall steward this idea.
I shall steward this idea
yes.
into the world. You know, and so sometimes it's like not the right time. Sometimes it is the right time. But the concept is that the ideas are just out there floating. Yeah. And then you're like, sure, I'll be your person.
Yeah, you can come down. Come through here.
Yeah, come through here. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, oh, it's her own thing. You know, she just so happened to come through me, and now she comes through a bunch of you guys listening.
And that's her own thing.
She just comes through all of us.
She does, because when we see Ula classes now online from all over the country.
Oh, yeah, she is definitely not in – she is all over the place.
She's like, don't worry.
Oh, my God, it kind of freed me up in the most amazing way. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah, she's like, I'm over here. I totally got
it. And actually, I think that created space in her to grow more, and it totally created space in me to open up as well. Mm-hmm. Like I can continue to move in complementary mm-hmm. directions, and know that like Ula lives. I mean, she's fine.
Yeah, and she's powerful. She lives her
she
own.
She is powerful. You know, if anything's been holding her back, it's me.
Well, maybe both of us a little bit.
Great. That's nice.
Yeah, with just how we perceived her.
How we perceived her and how we thought it reflected back on us. Like, it's just all about
this
the self.
Weird
yeah.
Where it's
and
like,
that's
oh,
ego
no.
and that's, you know, all that stuff. But man, just let her fly.
Yeah, and she feels more
she kind of wants to fly.
She feels more like, oh, I got this. Like, uh-huh. I'm so like, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, you got it. Okay, good.
Totally.
Like, I don't have to worry about you.
And you can not like me and like Ula. You can not like Ula and like me. It's okay.
And I love that too for people that are like, maybe I don't like you, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to like
as
us
as a person, but I sure do like Ula. You know, and I love Ula. And I think that's freed people.
I think it's freed people up to come who were back, conflicted maybe. By yeah. us mm-hmm. to then not want to be a part of this. But yeah. I do. Like, I really want people to know, like, you don't have to like me. Mm-mm. And you can like Ula and it's okay. Because it doesn't mean you're liking me. Just so you know. Yeah. You know? It's right. like, you. It doesn't, it's not like you saying, oh, I like and agree with everything these women are doing. You may just like Ula. And that's awesome.
That's.
And I think finally, like, we're at a point of maturity that we're able to say, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because before yeah. I kind of wanted to be like, no, but it is me.
Yeah, right, right. And but then she got too contained. And then she got kind of mad too, I feel like.
Ula did. She's like, yeah. let me out.
Or she just felt like she couldn't, you know, like, yeah. it was like, I can't.
I'm stuck in here. Mm-mm. I'm stuck in all your insecurities.
Yeah, and then even for you to be like, you know, this is my life and I'm going to live my life according to me, Kaylee Lindner.
Right.
Not according
Lindner.
To
Lindner.
Lindner. Lindner. Mr. Mrs. Lindner, your table's ready. But not according to Ula, per se. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Anyway. I wonder how many of you all, like, obviously this is just us being tied to our jobs.
Or-
but, like, you know, just thinking about how you all are tying your identity to perceptions or, you know, the reciprocation of what am I trying to say? You know, like that. It's like
the, how people are viewing you.
Yeah, it's just really interesting.
Yeah, and it's almost such, like it's you so think freeing about these successful like Steve Jobs or something. I'm sure there's a point where he was like, I'm not, I mean, he created this product, but he's like, I'm not Apple. I'm Steve Jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
And that freed him up to be more creative in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, beyond the boundaries of Apple.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's like, and then you're suddenly, your brain's all this and this and then this. And then somehow it ties to this.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But it's not always just one avenue, one road.
Totally.
Because you couldn't, a totally creative person can't do that.
Right.
It's all like, Apple, Apple, Apple. He's like, no, no, no. You know, I see this, 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 and this. And that's how it would enhance it.
Yeah, sure. That's you know? Cool. Yeah. Well, very interesting. I guess anyway, we didn't really get that much into health.
We didn't get that much into health, but I mean,
I mean, we both have kind of complicated health stories too.
Yeah.
So who really wants to talk about that right now?
But I mean, you know, just stay healthy. Everybody stay healthy.
Put your damn mask on.
Love your bodies. Love your, you know, even if she makes mistakes or whatever she does, your body does. You know?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
gotta, you know, for the time we're here.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know, like for me, I can do the stairs still.
Hey, that's those like, little wins.
Hey, it's those wins.
Totally.
And I'll go do stairs right now.
Go do it, baby.
You know, like that's my win. Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Well, yeah. It's yeah. not always a choice for people, but.
No. And even when we're not healthy, you know, celebrating the small wins when you're not healthy too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
We love you.
We love you. Thanks for the chat, my friend.
Bye.
Bye.